the 1-2. And Reddick hits one pretty well out of the right center field. Markakis is looking up, and that ball is into the Astros bullpen. A home run for Josh Reddick, and it's 6-0 Astros. Reddick's fourth of the year.
Now, another Astros podcast.
And he's starting to like it a little bit in Houston. A fan favorite very quickly.
Astros victorious over the Braves tonight by a final of 8-3. Time now to be joined by our Lexus player of the game as Josh Reddick joining us from the Astros dugout. Nice game for you tonight, Josh. Two hits, including your 100th career home run. Hope the guys in the bullpen got that ball for you.
They said they did. I made sure that I gave them a little signal around in the bases to make sure that I would get it, but they said they have it, so hopefully it's in my locker when I get in there.
I saw Bracamonte, your bullpen catcher, throw it to somebody in the seat, so I don't think you're going to get the right one.
Had to be a joke ball. It's always a joke ball. Always a joke ball. I've been in the league too long to know how they work.
So, Josh, you must be feeling pretty good at the plate right now. You had a home run over the weekend in Anaheim. How are you feeling right now?
I feel great. You know, I've said it before. It's, you know, when you're hitting in front of a guy like Altuve, it makes your job a little bit easier, if not a lot easier, because seems like you're going to get a lot of pitches and you're going to see a lot, not so many strikes. I'm just trying to swing at strikes when I can. And, you know, like I said, with those guys hitting in front of me, it seems to be a whole lot easier. But not trying to do too much. You know, I've been a three-hole hitter most of my career, and to be able to slide into the two-hole, it's been some special stuff for me, and I'm happy to be there.
Last thing, Josh. It seems like you are getting pretty locked in against these lefties. I don't see any budge or anything of that nature when you're battling against these lefties. You're hanging in there well.
Yeah, I mean, it's a matter of just getting at bats against them. You know, in the past it hasn't been a whole lot of at bats against those guys, and for AJ to have a little confidence in me, especially when we're up, to get those at bats, it's only going to help me and the team as well. So see how that works. I know he told me he's going to be getting me some off days on some of the tougher lefties, and you know, there's no problem with that. We got Marwin who's raking, and you know, Gaddy, who's been doing what he can do, and even Jake's having a good year so far. So we have a lot of faith in a lot of guys, and it's not like you're not really downgrading when you get guys like that in the lineup.
All right, Josh Reddick, thanks so much for joining us. Congratulations.
Yep. Thanks, Jess.
3-1. That's hit in the air, shallow left field. Aoki was playing shallow, comes in toward the line, makes the catch, and that is the ball game. Houston Astros win for the seventh time in their last 9 games, taking game one of this two-game series from the Atlanta Braves by a final of 8-3. Braves, they've lost 5 in a row.
Robert Ford joined by Astros manager A.J. Hanch. Nice win for the Astros yesterday. And we've seen so many games this year where the Astros have been able to beat up on bullpens and score runs late. But yesterday, you're able to get to Bartolo Colon in the first inning. First 5 batters all scored.
Yeah, it was an incredible start to the game and quality plate appearance after quality plate appearance. And you know, early on, it was just a couple of singles, and then obviously Correa had the big blow, and Beltran capped the night. So it was nice to get off to that kind of lead. You know, it allows the starting pitcher to settle in. It gives a little comfort to the lead. And even though we didn't do a ton against Colon for the rest of his evening, 5 runs is tough for them to overcome.
Charlie Morton started for the Astros, was pitching well, looked like the 6th inning got away from him just a little bit, did have a little bit of tough luck in that inning, though.
He did. There was a tough luck error in there. There were a couple walks, which are always troublesome, and a couple singles, and just an inning that piled up on him a little bit. It was really his only inning. Outside of the 2nd inning, a little bit of stress, but really good outing for him. It didn't end as well as he would want it, and it certainly looked early as if he was going to pitch a little deeper into the game. But rested bullpen, coming on an off day. Devo comes in and gets the big strikeout to end his outing as well. So it was nice. It was just a nice all-around effort.
Luke Gregerson came out in the 8th inning and pitched very well, 1-2-3 inning. He really needed that after struggling his last few times out.
He did, and it was one of the reasons I used him last night, is to give him an inning where hopefully he could get through it clean and feel good about himself. It was under 10 pitches. It was a vintage Luke Gregerson outing when he's good, and it was nice to see him bounce back. He took the weekend off in Anaheim. I didn't use him, but we're going to need him. We're going to need him to correct things quickly and be a part of the back end of that bullpen again.
And then Michael Feliz was gone over the weekend on the family medical emergency list. Good to see him back and pitching yesterday. I imagine you wanted to get him in as soon as possible just so he could maybe get some of that rust off.
Yeah, same thing for him, is just having 4 days off. You know, he hadn't pitched, hadn't really picked up a ball other than to play catch a little bit dealing with his family emergency. So I did want to get him in, and he felt good. He pitched well. There was a little bit of rust in there. But, you know, again, with that cushion, it allowed us to get some work in for some guys that needed it.
Does, when you have a quick series like this against a, an interleague opponent in the Braves, is it kind of a nice change of pace? I mean, obviously you have to do a lot of preparation for just two games, but, I mean, get to see a team that's a little different than the teams that you see on a regular basis.
Yeah, I like playing other teams. You know, the two-game series is a little bit rough coming off the road, and then we're going back on the road today, so I don't love the timing of it. But seeing new teams and new challenges and players from different leagues and different divisions is nice. I am a fan of the interleague schedule with getting to see some different teams. Obviously, I'd like to play everybody every year if we could, just to make things even. We draw some teams, other teams draw others. So, but for us, we'll prepare the same, whether it's a two-game series. We see these guys again in July, so we'll play another two games against them. But, you know, all in all, we've got to prepare for every game.
A.J. Hinch, thanks for joining us.
You got it.
Now batting number 99, J.J. Watt.
Come out to Minute Maid Park on Saturday, May 13th, to see some of your favorite Houston Texans players swing for the fences at the 5th Annual J.J. Watt Charity Classic. The J.J. Watt Foundation will host a home run derby and softball game between the offensive and defensive players from the Houston Texans. All proceeds from this family-friendly event will benefit the J.J. Watt Foundation. For tickets and more information, visit Astros.com/JJ Watt.
I'm hanging out in the clubhouse right now with Jake Mariznick. Been playing really good. I mean, you come in for defense a lot. When you're getting your chance to get in there, doesn't seem like you're out of rhythm. How are you keeping everything intact? Just a lot of batting practice?
Yeah, just taking a lot of swings in the cage and hitting off the machine a little bit and picking some of the older guys' brains. I mean, talking to Beltran a little bit about how he's done it. And I mean, they got a lot of knowledge, and to be able to use them and use that to the best of our ability is big for me.
What's something crazy he's told you where, like, man, I would have never in my wildest dreams thought about that?
I mean, that's the thing, is nothing he says is crazy. It's all pretty simple stuff, but he's so true to it, and I mean, believes in it so well, and it's stuff just a lot of guys look past and look over, and he just does it to such a fine detail.
Seems like you guys change bat companies from time to time. Bat length, bat weight. What kind of bat are you using right now, and what's the length and the weight on your bat?
I actually got the Beltran model, the Los 15. What is it, 30, 34, 31 and a half.
What do you like most? I mean, what's the distribution of a weight? You like a big head on it, or you like the small handle? What do you like?
I just like it pretty even. And, I mean, I've swung, I mean, you talk to any baseball player, and they swung a million different bats in their life. And you might pick one up and go 3 for 4 that day, and then you'll use that one for a couple months, and then get into a, I mean, people jump around. I was talking to Altuve about it the other day, and he's jumping with a few different ones.
What's it like when you're on a pretty hot streak and you've used the same bat for a couple weeks? Guy gets inside on you, or you're just off the end and it shatters. Are you crying on the way down to first base?
No, you're laughing. You're hoping it went out of here. You're hoping it went out with a hit, but you just got to go in and find a new one that's got hits in it.
Talking with Jake Mariznick. And Jake, tell me about your glove. What do you like particularly for your outfield glove? How do you like to break it in, first of all, and what do you like to do as far as the way it folds over?
I mean, for me, I like it pretty loose and kind of floppy, and I flare open the sides a little bit just so it kind of gives you a little more room for air. Or if you're diving, you can kind of scoop it up a little better. Okay. Some guys will fold it in and kind of make the pocket deep. Yeah, but I like having just the sides flared out a little bit.
Mother's Day's coming up, and your mom put out a I don't know if it was a tweet or whatever it was the other day, but she put something out. It's pretty cute about something that you wrote out for her. Tell me about your mom, first of all. What kind of a mom was she, and what did you appreciate most about her?
She was in charge of taking care of me and my brothers. We were three knuckleheads growing up, and she'd find us in a different spot. We had horses and stuff growing up, so she'd find us up there messing with the horses. I mean, there was one time that three of us were in there, and she was driving up, and we were in there slapping the horse on the butt and running from it. I think I was the one that fell down in there, and the horse jumped out. It was a big ordeal, but she saw a bunch of stuff like that growing up.
Were you the oldest or the youngest of the boys?
Oh, the youngest. I was a guinea pig on all the stuff we did.
And you're still the guinea pig in this clubhouse, right?
Yeah, I think that's where it comes from. I mean, they sense I'm the youngest child, and they feel they can take advantage of me, but I'm taking my shots back.
Well, with Mother's Day coming up, is there anything you want to apologize to your mom about? I mean, I know you're probably getting into some trouble, but just a quick apology for your mom about something. I know there's something in your mind.
Yeah, I mean, she might want to double-check at that that chandelier we had in there. She had a really nice one, and it fell down and broke one time. So I think me and my brothers stuck one up there. I don't think she's noticed yet.
You replaced it with a fake?
Yeah, we threw one up there. It looks pretty similar.
All right, last thing. I'm trying to grow my hair like yours. How do you think it's looking right now?
You got those deep power alleys. I'm looking for looking at them as a good place to hit the ball. So keep those going. Give me a good target.
This has been a production.
Looking up. See you later.
Of the Houston Astros.
This ball's hammered. This ball's high. There it goes.
Radio Network.